This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cubs pitcher Yu Darvish, who continues to be unable to actually pitch. He tried to play a rehab game, and it lasted an inning, and then he declared himself done. Covering that was Steve Greenberg of the Chicago Sun-Times on Twitter, at SL Greenberg. He joins the Bernstein and McKnight show. So take us through what that was like. People waiting with bated breath, and then everybody ends up disappointed.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was there the last time he threw a rehab start, June 25th, and he went five innings. It looked, it looked good with my untrained eye, and threw all his pitches and all that, and then after he was just oddly noncommittal about how he felt, and so what he said yesterday is that he felt the same thing in between the first and second innings that he had felt back in June. Only this time he said, "Well, I better shut it down right now." So of course, totally anticlimactic. You're expecting him to pitch however many innings that looks like a guy who's ramping up to rejoin the rotation in maybe 2 weeks. It was sort of set up so that he could throw as many as three rehab starts all in South Bend and then jump in with the Cubs, and then now you're rolling into September and we just see what you can get from him. I think now, as he walks off after the first inning, you immediately go to this guy's toast. No way it's happening this year. He won't pitch. Wait till next year and all that. And that's what ran through my mind then, and that's what I assume is the case now. But he says he's going to take another run at it. I don't know why anyone would think it would turn out any differently.
Yeah, I mean, he was asked what was going on, and it sounded like he wanted to talk to you guys that were there to clear things up, or at least give his perspective on what had been going on. This, I suppose he made it clear then, it's kind of unclear to me now, this is not something that he felt in the ramp-up process to this official minor league ramp-up process, right? This is new-ish?
No, well, I think it's the same issue that has kept him out all these months. But that while he was throwing bullpens and throwing off, long toss and throwing off the mound finally and all that, at a sim game at Wrigley, that his elbow or his triceps, that lower part in back, I guess, where one meets the other, is the region that we're talking about. I guess it felt okay. So, he flared back up all of a sudden. He said he was fine in the first inning last night, and it was, although, I don't know if he really was, because he threw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball to end the first inning, strikeout pitch. And as he was walking off, he was kind of shaking his arm. So that was the first sign, although after he said, no, it was fine, it was when he went back out there to warm up. But I think it was the same, we're talking about the same issue, and we can debate the validity of it. I don't know that anybody has any real insight or not into this. A lot of people have had a lot of opinions, obviously A-Rod and Rick Sutcliffe. And, I mean, it's easy to sort of doubt the guy. I'm hesitant to do that, but it's that really dangerous thing for a guy who had Tommy John surgery, when you're talking about his pitching elbow or thereabouts, and it could be really, really bad. And probably to me, not that you asked, but I'd just shut him down, and step out of the way, and we'll see it in February is what I would think, and all that. And that's what I think will wind up happening probably. But we'll see if they want to entertain the possibility of him taking another shot at rehab and all that. It just seems dangerous and fruitless to me.
As we last left it, he had requested an MRI, but what do we actually know about the diagnostics now? Is he having an MRI today? Are they considering stepping it up with an arthrogram or something more invasively exploratory?
Well, I'm not on the road with the team. I don't know for sure, but I do know that what I've heard is that Theo said last night that the next step would be an MRI today. So I think that's what's happening. I don't know that for sure, but waiting to find out if that's what happens, and if it does, if we'll hear something later tonight or more likely tomorrow once the beat writers and everyone else are in Detroit with the Cubs at the ballpark, and or maybe earlier in the day tomorrow. There's going to be still some anticipation of news. I kind of think it'll come tomorrow. But anyway, it'll be from an MRI. And, what we've seen to this point is his MRIs have been clean. Of course, his MRI was clean in, the late fall, early winter of 2015, November, December, something like that year. And then he didn't make it out of spring training in March before he was diagnosed with a torn ligament and needed, Tommy John. And so there's some, there's a bigger time period that elapsed there in which he could have gotten hurt. But it's just such a delicate thing, to assume a guy's fine. And if he has a clean MRI, that's all you have to go on. But he's saying there's something in there. I don't know what we'll hear today, what we'll hear tomorrow. But, the way the story's gone, guys, I'm just waiting to hear, there's an MRI, it's clean, and then it's just ongoing puzzlement, on our parts.
Steve, I don't remember covering somebody at length or extensively who used an interpreter, but now that you've done this a couple of times, is your observational process to observe him, even though you don't speak Japanese, I'm assuming you don't speak Japanese, maybe you do, but is your process to sort of watch and listen and how he appears and how he sounds and his tone before then hearing what the words actually mean? Because I always wonder how much heat loss there is in translation with some of this stuff.
Right. There's a lot lost, I'm sure of it. And I'm trying to read. I'm not, in other words, observing Daichi Sekizaki, his translator, while he's talking. I'm looking at you and trying to, play amateur psychologist, trying to read something and his voice and his facial expressions, the role of the eyes. He doesn't have a lot of tells, I don't think, and he didn't yesterday. And once you start doing that, what I just described, it is sort of inherently cynical too. I appreciated that he it couldn't have been half an hour after he walked off the mound. He was meeting the media. He's not obligated to do that. He was pleasant. He did, I won't say he did any soul searching, but, he talked about his feelings, about how disappointed he is and all that. So, but no, you don't speak the language, and there's no doubt there's a lot that gets lost in translation. And he's been hard to know throughout his career. That's I wonder what the Japanese media would say about that. Maybe some would disagree. And, I think we're just barely scratching the surface in the getting to know process with Yu Darvish. And we may never really get to know him because he may be more comfortable keeping the media at arm's length, so to speak, and that's what he's done to this point. But, I've heard him described before as difficult or aloof and all these things. You guys have heard that too. I haven't found him necessarily to be that in these interviews with a translator. He's not impatient. He doesn't seem to be BSing and all that. But still, it's hard to read the guy. And I have not yet felt like I really have gotten a read on him. So we'll continue to try.
Steve, this is good. We appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet, guys. Take care.
Steve Greenberg, Chicago Sun-Times.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.